Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, May 5th. We're already into May 2026. Today is Cinco de Mayo. Let's begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, Powerball. Pair of players in Vermilion County hit partial jackpot. This article is based out of Danville and is written by Jennifer Bailey. Jennifer can be reached by email at jbailey@newsgazette.com. Melissa Norwood, N-O-R-W-O-O-D. Melissa Norwood's reaction to finding out the Danville Circle K she manages had sold a $2 million winner in last week's Powerball. I almost fainted, she said Monday, from the business at 401 West Main Street. This is the largest winning ticket we've ever sold. Everyone here is beyond excited, and we're eager to find out who the winner is. Hopefully a regular, local customer. It's the same question they're asking in Westville, where another $1 million winning ticket was sold at the Phillips 66 at 1717 North State Street. As of Monday, neither millionaire had claimed their prize, which they have up to 1 year from the draw date to do. The lucky Danville player matched five numbers and also hit the game's power play feature. That individual was among four to win prizes of at least $1 million, with the other tickets purchased in Westville, Cicero, and Carmen. It's an unusually high number for one state in one night, according to lottery officials. Norwood had reason to smile Monday. Retailers also benefit from winning tickets, receiving 1% of the prize amount. And there's one photograph that accompanies this article, and it's of a Caucasian woman, probably in her 40s, with the red t-shirt on. I think it says Circle K. And she's holding a ticket, a winning lottery Powerball receipt. And the caption reads, Melissa Norwood, manager of the Circle K at 401 West Main Street in Danville, holds up a Powerball ticket. Another one sold at her store last week ended up being a $2 million winner. That photo is provided. Next up, front and center on the front page of today's paper, Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation, shining stars. Set to be saluted at the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation Spring Fling Wednesday at Riggs Beer Company. 9 Unit 4 and District 116 teachers and social workers whose dedication, innovation, and enthusiasm make a meaningful impact in the classroom. Introducing the peer-nominated Shining Star Award winners who will share the spotlight at CUSF's annual end-of-year teacher appreciation event. There are nine people here that we will highlight. First up, and their photos are front and center of the paper too, their portraits. Here we go. Let's celebrate them. First up, Lindsay Eichmann. That's Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-A-Y, Eichmann, A-I-K-M-A-N. Not only is Centennial's assistant girls coach among CU's most passionate soccer promoters, the English and AVID, A-V-I-D, teacher also goes above and beyond to empower her students at Centennial High. As nominator Megan Zawicki put it, she pushes students to their potential and they feel success. Her work as an AVID teacher has opened doors for students through college applications, career connections, and even full scholarships. Congratulations to her. We're going alphabetically. Next up, Stacy Airy. That's Stacy, S-T-A-C-Y, Airy, A-R-I-E. She's always ready, always calm, always on point, and executes lessons that provide students with the best opportunities to use language in a variety of domains. Fellow Centennial ESL teacher Katie Lohmeyer wrote, about the high school's multilingual learners department chair. The steady, humble Airy can frequently be found putting in extra time to tutor students, monitor their progress, and coordinate complex schedules. Next up, Anna Blacker, A-N-N-A, last name Blacker, B-L-A-C-K-E-R. The Southside Elementary Instructional Coach works tirelessly to provide our students and staff with unique, rewarding learning experiences, and is the best cheerleader every step of the way, art teacher Amy Lozar wrote about Blacker, who's known for forging innovative partnerships that benefit her students, among them hands-on learning experiences with the U of I's Beckman Institute for Advanced Science and Technology. Next up, Jeff Fuller, J-E-F-F, last name Fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R. He helps kids gain the skills and confidence to reach milestones they once thought they never could, colleague Ashley Butler wrote of the longtime adaptive PE teacher at Urbana's Gerber School, a collaboration between District 116 and Cunningham Children's Home. Known for his lighthearted approach, Fuller guides students from hesitation to milestones, like jumping high enough to touch the basketball rim. Next up, Luisana Hernandez. That's L-U-I-S-A-N-A, last name Hernandez, H-E-R-N-A-N-D-E-Z. Among the Urbana High Social Workers claim to fame, creating and securing funding for an in-house vocational program, including the Tiger Cart Store, giving students in autism support and life skills classes, meaningful real-world experiences. She is a colleague who we can truly rely on to support us as well and to provide leadership and support school-wide, fellow social worker Alicia Traziz wrote in nominating Hernandez. Next up, Cheryl Morton, C-H-E-R-Y-L, last name M-O-R-T-O-N. The central special education teacher with nearly 16 years of service goes out of her way to make our class and our school run, taking on extra assignments and roles where she is needed and doing so with a warm, welcoming smile that makes students feel at home and secure in any space she is in. Co-teacher and nominator Cameron Pope wrote of Morton, whose impact is felt far beyond the classroom. Next up, Heather Nolan, N-O-L-E-N. A month after being named NG Teacher of the Week, News Gazette Teacher of the Week, the Urbana Early Childhood School Educator from Sullivan is back in the limelight. It's well-deserved, speech-language pathologist Heidi Hackett wrote of Nolan, who makes every student feel valued and supported and whose work consistently reflects a deep belief that they all can thrive when given the right support, encouragement, and opportunities. Next up, Jessica Oka. I apologize for any mispronunciation. It's always unintentional. That's Jessica, J-E-S-S-I-C-A, last name Oka, O-C-H-O-A. International Prep Academy's first grade dual language teacher is a bright light for her students and colleagues whose excitement for learning and teaching is contagious. One of Oka's several nominators, Angela Kleber, wrote, she's known for going above and beyond to reflect her students' identities, incorporating languages, highlighting diverse role models, and designing meaningful hands-on learning experiences. And our last shining star is Ryan O'Connor, R-Y-A-N, last name O'Connor, O-C-O-N-N-O-R. The Novak Academy English teacher is being recognized for his commitment to student success and leadership in creating a trauma-responsive learning environment, which colleague Randy Wenzel says he does daily. His ability to balance rigorous academic expectations with empathetic, authentic relationship building ensures that students feel both challenged and supported in reaching their full potential, she wrote in her nomination letter. Thank you to all of the Shining Stars. Congratulations to them. The work they do is invaluable. Next up, Friday fatal shooting in Urbana. Kankakee man allegedly carried murder weapon from scene. This article is written by Luke Taylor, who can be reached by email at ltaylor@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Urbana. A Kankakee man walking away from the scene of a homicide Friday night was carrying the firearm used to commit the shooting, police say. Charles Haynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S, 21, was detained that evening and initially arrested for weapons-related offenses. By the time he appeared in court Monday afternoon, Champaign Police Department detectives and crime scene officers had completed further investigation, prompting the state's attorney's office to charge Haynes with 4 counts of first-degree murder. Police responded to the 500 block of East Columbia Avenue at around 5:22 p.m. Friday for a report of a shooting with injuries. After arriving, they found a victim in a nearby alley suffering a gunshot wound to the chest. He was transported to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. Champaign County Coroner Lori Brower identified the victim as 33-year-old Aaron Sibley of Champaign. Assistant State's Attorney Rachel Bierman said that a witness reported seeing a black male approach after the victim was shot and remove a gun that was on him before hiding it in an air conditioning unit. Officers found 6 spent cartridge casings on the porch of a house on that block, Bierman said. They also found Haynes in the area walking away from the crime scene. When they made contact, he admitted to having a gun on him without a concealed carry license, Bierman said. During the interaction, Haynes allegedly asked, without being solicited, "That dude didn't die, did he?" Haynes initially claimed to have found the firearm he was carrying near a house and to have fired it once in the air as a warning shot. There were 2 live rounds in the handgun, which matched the brand of the casings found at the scene. Police test-fired the handgun, and the casing matched those found at the scene, indicating that the firearm Haynes was carrying was the one that fired at least 6 rounds at the crime scene. Champaign County Judge Brett Olmstead ruled that Haynes would be detained overnight, at least until his pre-trial detention hearing Tuesday morning. Haynes appeared in court Monday by way of video call from the Champaign County Jail. As his hearing concluded and he left the call, he could be heard yelling, apparently in conversation with jail staff. Olmstead told other individuals appearing in arraignment court that there were things they could do to help their case be more likely to have their desired outcome, but that was not one of them. If found guilty of first-degree murder, Haynes could face a sentence of 45 years to life in prison. Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Questions, comments, suggestions for this column, you can always reach out to Vice President Jim Rosso at his email address, jrossow@newsgazette.com. The remarkable comeback of community-run Railside Golf Club gets better by the day. Tonight in Gibson City, 56 golfers will kick off week 1 of Men's League that has reached capacity. On Wednesday, 20 more will tee off on opening night of the still-growing Women's League. Fittingly, league champs likely will donate their winnings to the club to cover expenses that come with keeping 12 holes in tip-top shape, fuel, maintenance, etc. "We just have a passion for golf," said Rob Doman, D-O-H-M-A-N. Taking a break from mowing on Monday, he's one of a dozen volunteers tasked with keeping the Gibson City layout in phenomenal condition. "We hear it from a lot of people who come to play." Railside's survival story can be traced to Bernadette and Darren Ray, who purchased the property a year after the course closed in 2016. A decade later, owners and volunteers remain committed to their golf park, a shared space for golfing, walking, and outdoor recreation. Neither fees nor tee times are required. A donation box is on site, as is a dry erase board, so the many helping hands can see what needs to be done, Doman said. Doman moved to Gibson City in 2011, partly because of Railside. He lives 100 yards from the course. Now 62 and retired, he's doing his part to keep it running. Would you like to help? You can reach out to Doman at his phone number, which is 217-781-0157. That's 217-781-0157. Next up, history. Area history. In 1926, Paul Prehn, boxing and wrestling instructor at the University of Illinois and owner of a confectionery business on campus, was named by Governor Len Small to serve as chairman of the state's new commission supervising legalized boxing. A foremost crusader for clean sportsmanship, Prehn, P-R-E-H-N, was the ranking contender for the world's middleweight championship in 1918. In his 8 years as a U of I coach, his wrestlers have won the conference championship 5 times. Wrestling has flourished for years among the Big Ten schools, but boxing has yet to develop into a competitive sport. In 1976, a University of Illinois police officer arrested Daily Illini photographer Sheila Reeves, a senior in communications, in front of the alma mater statue because she disrupted the officer by taking photographs, according to University Police Lieutenant Clyde Barnes. Barnes said the photographer was taking pictures of the officer in a disruptive manner while he was investigating an incident involving the statue. In 2011, after more than 7 years of wavering, University of Illinois officials have decided to kill a proposal to build a 400-foot wind turbine just south of the city limits. The project seemed full speed ahead just months ago before it was met with intense scrutiny from nearby residents and some city officials. Now the U of I has dropped the plan, and the move has sparked different reactions from both sides. In international history, today's highlight. On May 5th, 1961, astronaut Alan B. Shepard Jr. became America's first space traveler as he made a 15-minute suborbital flight aboard Mercury capsule Freedom 7. Also on this date in 1821, Napoleon Bonaparte, 51, died in exile on the South Atlantic island of St. Helena. In 1862, Mexican troops repelled French attacks on the city of Puebla de los Angeles in the Battle of Puebla, also known as the Battle of Cinco de Mayo. And in 1925, high school teacher John T. Scopes was charged in Tennessee with violating a state law that prohibited teaching the theory of evolution. Scopes was found guilty, but his conviction was later set aside. Now let's take a brief look at our weather forecast over the next few days. Today, 60 degrees, a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, much cooler, north winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. The overnight low will be 48. Wednesday, the high will be 58, the low is 43, partly sunny, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overnight, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Thursday, the high will be 60, the low will be 40, again, partly cloudy. Friday, the high will be 65, and the low will be 46, partly sunny with a 30% chance of showers. Overnight, cloudy with a 30% chance of showers in the evening, then mostly clear. Saturday, the high will be 71, the low will be 49, sunny overnight, partly cloudy. And there's a photograph Sorry, let's move on to more stories. There's a photograph and a headline. The headline reads, "Come and get your free tomato plants." And there's a photo of a woman standing in front of a table with table plants, and she's dressed as a tomato. This photo is taken by Rob Lacates for the News Gazette. The caption reads, "Demi Ramirez organizes tomato plants she gave away for free at First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana on Monday afternoon. Ramirez donned the tomato costume for the second year, helping the bank distribute more than 5,400 tomato plants. The 44th annual giveaway marks the start of spring and introduces potential new customers to the bank." The next headline reads, "Land of Lincoln, Honor, Flights Mission 77, a special trip for Danville and Champaign veterans." This article is written by Jennifer Bailey and is based out of Danville, and you can reach Jennifer by email at jbaileywy@newsgazette.com. It was more than 55 years ago when 76-year-old Jim Moulton of Danville was drafted into the Army. Understandably, he wasn't crazy about going. He served during the Vietnam War era from May 12, 1970 to December 16, 1971, and returned to the U.S. without any hoopla. When he returns from his honor flight next month, he and the other veterans will receive the heartfelt welcome home deserving to them. Moulton, spelled M-U-L-T-O-N, said he learned about the honor flights when his daughter-in-law traveled to Washington, D.C. with her father. He couldn't say no when the opportunity came up for him. Now he and his son, Brian, will be making the trip with 95 area veterans on May 5th. That's today. "I'm looking forward to it," Moulton said. "It will be a busy day." He's been to Washington, D.C. for a couple of work trips. He's now retired from being a floor installer. They will be part of the Land of Lincoln Honor Flights Mission 77, flying out of Springfield's Abraham Lincoln Capital Airport. The one-day trip will include veterans, 5 Korean and 90 Vietnam era, from 54 Illinois towns. The day starts bright and early at 4 a.m., and they plan to be back by 9:30 that night. They will visit the World War II, Korean, and Vietnam War memorials, Arlington National Cemetery, Tomb of the Unknowns, the Lincoln Memorial National Air and Space Museum in Chantilly, Virginia, U.S. Marine Corps Memorial, and the U.S. Air Force Memorial. The Day of Honor is provided at no cost to the veterans. It's funded by public donations. The general public, friends, family, and LLHF alumni veterans will pack the airport to welcome the heroes home. Another Vietnam-era veteran, Richard Tabeling, T-A-B-E-L-I-N-G, 79, of Champaign, who served in the Navy Reserves from 1966 to 1968, and then returned home to be a union iron worker and build buildings, will be traveling to Washington, D.C. for his first time. "I'm looking forward to it," he too said. "Hopefully it will not be too crowded there." Any veteran who served at any time up through May 7th, 1975 is eligible to participate on an honor flight, regardless of where they served or their assigned duties, according to the organization. Any seriously impaired or terminally ill World War II, Korean era, or Vietnam era veterans are given flight priority. The next headline reads, actually, it's a series of photographs taken in a school gym. The first photo is a young woman shaking hands with a man in a gym. The next is a woman and a man walking a child, I guess their child, through the gym. And then you have some military salutes to students. There's a photo of that. Let's see what this is all about. Top. Okay, so the headline reads, for context, "Decisions decisions. The first one is, Leia Rapier pumps her fist to show her and her husband Robert support for their son, Jamie, who is a class of 2026 Sherlarmon Academy graduate who will be going into the Army. Future plans were announced for the 22 soon-to-be graduating seniors at the high school's First Decision Day event in Danville on Monday. The class average grade point average is 3.69 on a 4.0 scale, and the third of the class earned a weighted GPA over 4.0. There's also a photo of Principal Tracy Cherry handing a flower to graduate Larson McMahon and his parents, Rena and Chris. He plans to attend Danville Area Community College and transfer to the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And at the start of the event, the American Legion Post 210 Honor Guard presented 10 new American flags, thanks to donations, for classrooms at the school. Those series of photos were taken by Jennifer Bailey for the News Gazette. The next headline reads, Champaign County Coroner Savoy Man ID'd as motorcyclist killed in Saturday crash in Urbana. This article is written by Jana Wiersema, who can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Urbana. A 39-year-old Savoy man has been identified as the motorcyclist who died following a multi-vehicle crash in the 2300 block of South Lincoln Avenue in Urbana. John, J-O-H-N, K. Goeken, G-O-E-K-E-N, was pronounced dead at 1:26 p.m. Saturday at Carle Foundation Hospital's emergency department, said Champaign County Coroner Lori Brower. An autopsy has been scheduled, and the case remains under investigation by the coroner's office, the University of Illinois Police Department, UIPD, and Illinois State Police. Officers responded to the scene at approximately 12:30 p.m. Saturday and saw that both a motorcycle and SUV had sustained damage, UIPD officials said. The driver of the SUV was taken to a local hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. Police later said in a Monday afternoon update that the motorcyclist had succumbed to his injuries. Southbound Lincoln Avenue was closed from Windsor Road to St. Mary's Road for several hours after the crash. Next up, a quick sports announcement. Voting matters. Help us choose our high school athletes of the week. You can determine who wins this weekly award presented by Copper Creek Contractors. Head to newsgazette.com before voting closes at noon on Thursdays. You can check out the weekly nominees for 2025 and 2026 school year in our section C, C7 of the News Gazette. As a quick note, the News Gazette is a daily newspaper operated by Central Illinois Multimedia Group, or CIMG, Post Office Box 677, Champaign, Illinois, 61824-0677. The local offices are at 2101 Fox Drive in Champaign. You can reach the newsroom by phone at 217-351-5252. That's 217-351-5252. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, May 5th, 2026. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in a few moments to read part two of the News Gazette with you, so please stay with me. Thank you for listening. Have a great week and a wonderful day.